see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is probably like the most depressing line that I've ever heard in The Bachelorette, when she was like, it's been such a long time since I've heard kind words from men. Like, I'm just really overwhelmed or something. I was just like, oh my God.
She literally becomes teary because of the overwhelming emotional impact of men saying kind things to her.
Strangers.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Every week, we tune into a new episode of The Bachelorette, and we simply don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah, every week. It's like some episodes are really rich texts with just so much to unpack and examine. Others are like more like pamphlets or like the back of a cereal box. You just don't know.
It truly is a little bit chaotic, but this week we got lucky because we have a truly rich text to unpack.
Yes, genre-bending twists, complex characters, the plumbing of psychological depths. It's like a really great novel all packed into 2 hours of television.
How lucky are we? And we really don't have a moment to lose. So here to help us close read this episode is friend, former colleague, Cosmo op-ed editor, and author of the hit YA drama They Wish They Were Us, Jessica Goodman.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here to talk about this insane episode.
Thank you for joining us, Jess. And before we get into the recap, we just want to remind everyone who is listening, please, 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 if you are able to, make a voting plan, vote early, mail in your ballot, go on election day. However you can help support and show up for our democracy, we beg you, please do it.
Yes, I voted this week by going to one of the ballot drop boxes that we have in New Jersey. There are so many ways. In some places, it's very difficult, but do your best. We'll all get through this together.
Hopefully.
So let's get started. We return to the La Quinta Resort, where Claire is sunning herself in the pool. Honestly, I think we should do it here every season. It's such a much more beautiful and cinematic setting, I feel like. I'm not going to be interested in going back to the mansion.
I know. I agree.
Yeah, I'm into it. I feel like there seems to be like a lot of places to roam, and like they're not really like they have a lot of setting to work with.
Yeah, except when it comes to the dates, which is like, there's more setting for most of it. And then when they go on a group date, it's like, and here they are tucked into a conference room with fake gym walls put up and a prop tower that was probably used for a high school production of Romeo and Juliet. So, you know, it's like we've got to pay out in certain areas of the show production.
Look, but, you can't have it all, Claire. I will say, though, that their sleeping accommodations look much more comfortable. They are not like all packed in to one room in bunk beds where half of them are falling off the bunk beds in the middle of the night. They have like full queen and king size beds happening. They don't have to share their rooms with a million people. Many more bathrooms. Like, these guys have it good.
Are you referring to the final, the after the credits scene when Bennett did a little like cribs tour of his home and had like four fireplaces there?
Yes. And he also gave a little tour at the beginning. Like, there was a lot of Bennett's living quarters featured in this episode. And he had a really good collection of sheet masks, which I always respect.
And his shoes laid out in front of a blazing fire, which is where I like to keep my shoes as well. He has at least three more fireplaces than most people have in their homes, I would say. As they enter their suites, one guy is like, I'm just excited to be somewhere that's safe. And that really just sums up where we all are mentally as the season begins.
Who knew that the safest place in America would be the set of The Bachelorette? That is a 2020 twist I didn't see coming, but it feels right.
I've never wanted to be on a reality show before, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just like try to go on, and then I won't get coronavirus. Like that, seems to be the way not to get coronavirus.
Then I can hug friends. Like that's what I have to do to hug a friend.
It's like wear a mask, social distance, go on The Bachelor. Like those are the ways to avoid it. So
exactly,
there you go.
So we get to our first date, first group date, which is going to feature Riley, Jordan, Yosef, Ivan, or is it Yvonne or Ivan?
I think it's Yvonne.
Yvonne, Ben, Bennett, Zach C, Zach J. I'm sorry. I like haven't fully no idea who the Zachs are. And Dale, Claire's husband.
See, every time you say that, I'm going to be like, excuse me, that's not my husband's name.
Like, his name is Greg, okay?
I fully had no idea there were multiple Zachs. Like, we met them last week. Zero memory of even a single Zach existing on this show.
I can't remember any of their names so far, so I just keep writing down things like chess guy. Like loafer guy. I'm just like, that's who they are to me until Dale wins and then we move on.
No, I've been doing a lot of guy question mark.
Same.
Says, and then I have to go look at all of the list of men and track them down, which seems like it seems even harder than usual to differentiate them.
I say this every season, but like, please, ABC, just use the chyrons a little more.
A little more.
Help
That's
us.
That's all we're asking.
Like maybe every time they're on the screen, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
They should do it like Instagram tagging. There should just be like a little arrow pointing to each guy who's on screen with
that.
His name. Why not?
Genius.
So as you said, Claire, they head off to their corporate retreat.
Yeah, they just are all like walking across the grounds of a resort together in a group and going to a conference room called the Salon de Fiesta.
This was the saddest looking room I've ever seen.
Inside, there's some sort of group bonding exercise set up. The vibe is extremely college orientation. And this is the big downfall of filming the show in a bubble, but overall I would say worth it. And Claire greets them in high-waisted khaki shorts along with Chris Harrison, who I think literally just said goodbye to them. He just ran faster than them to get there.
Yeah, he references some sort of passage of time, and I was like, you just saw them. Like, maybe you took a break between filming, but like for us it seems like you literally sprinted over.
They had to take a break for them to put some styling clay in their hair or something.
I imagine that there are just, like, golf carts all around this resort, and Chris Harrison has, like, a personal golf cart where he's just like, all right, BRB, and, like, jumps in the golf cart and, like, goes to the date, and then, like,
oh,
everybody
so
else
true.
Shows up. Yeah,
Chris is
and
not
jumps
walking.
In and, like, taps the top, like, here we go, boys.
He's a big golfer. Like, you know that he has, like, a golf cart to shuttle him around this whole situation.
He probably has, like, a personal fleet of golf carts. So Chris tells the guys that they're here to learn about love languages. And I just want to say that we know that this is, like, a really unusual quality group of guys for The Bachelorette. Because when Chris asks if they know about the love languages, none of them says, it's my favorite book.
You mean these men might have actually, like, read some novels?
It's possible. The love languages has such a prominent place in recent Bachelor seasons. Like, the contestants have always read it, and there's nothing wrong with that. I too have read the love languages, but I was like, oh, I see that we've gone in a different direction with the pool of men and their interests. And so they're going to basically be enacting some of the love language categories for Claire, beginning with words of affirmation. What did you guys think about this date?
Claire is like in some sort of tower, Rapunzel style. I mean, this is the thing, again, with filming on a resort. Their options are limited. They have to be a lot more sort of like narrative heavy with these dates. So they can't lean as much on like, here's a sweeping vista, go do a weird activity. They have to depend on a lot more speaking ability, which puts a lot more pressure on Claire. And I think that is sort of partly what has lent us to a lot more like emotional processing on these dates, because they don't have anything like crazy for us to look at.
Why do you think that they put her in like a random like theater, like a high school theater production of a castle, like a turret in a castle, instead of just being like, let's just stand next to each other and have you guys do this? Like, what did the Rapunzel castle add to this whole situation?
Oh, absolutely.
Other than she was
nothing.
Like taller than them.
I think they should have leaned into it more. Honestly, yeah. Like, I think they should have leaned into it more and been like, Claire, like, we're going to do this as a whole Romeo and Juliet concept. And like, if Claire was like, you're, you know, bring in a theater, you know, director or something into the bubble. I don't know. But like, it's true. We have such a paucity of dramatic visuals. You can't just have them in a dark conference room talking to each other for like 10 weeks. You're going to need to mix it up visually. I think the problem is that they didn't take it far enough. They're just like, here's a prop. Claire, go stand in the prop and listen. It's not enough.
I really could have done with some like, yeah, some more high school theater production quality. But it was hilarious to watch them like look up at her and like say these things and have her like, kind of like stare down at them.
It was very bizarre.
This is the thing that they would have done in the past, is like take them all to like a high school theater, and like the theater is putting on a romantic play, and like they talk to the high school kids, and Claire's like, oh, he's so good with children. And then they do the romantic speeches. Instead, they're just like, we can't do any of that. We can't change the setting.
We're like, just put her in a tower, call it a day, use the props that are here. Like, it is what it is. This is the beginning of the season. I also imagine they were like, there are a limited number of people we can bring into this bubble. It's gonna take time. So, like, the beginning dates are going to be maybe like a little lower maintenance.
Yeah, they've got to keep their powder dry a little bit.
Exactly. So yeah, we get to hear all of these men, you know, wax poetic for her. And I appreciate that Claire tries to like respond in kind to each one of them. Like, she sort of is like, yes, yes, oh. She tries to be very affirming back to them. Obviously, she's like swooning when Dale speaks.
I thought she was gonna like fall out of the castle.
I know these other men are clearly starting to pick up on how much more she likes Dale, especially when we move on from words of affirmation to physical touch.
This is probably like the most depressing line that I've ever heard in The Bachelorette, when she was like, it's been such a long time since I've heard kind words from men. Like, I'm just really overwhelmed or something. I was just like, oh my God.
She literally becomes teary because of the overwhelming emotional impact of men saying kind things to her.
Strangers.
I felt that. I really did. But when she said it in that way, I was like, it's sad that we expect so little, isn't it? So little.
Yeah, the bar is very, very low for men. I have to assume that was also potentially compounded by quarantine and the fact that Claire has like been around zero humans.
Yes.
Which again was evident when they went in for physical touch and everyone was like, I haven't hugged anyone in so long. And I was I feel that.
Like, I know. I liked that. I found that to be relatable. I was like, yeah, same. Like, I too would lose my shit if I got to like hug a bunch of people. That sounds really nice.
Yeah. Different people, like different like shapes and sizes. Like, that sounds so fun.
I know.
And it's a date that would normally be a little awkward, especially if you're the Bachelorette and you have like a lot of guys like coming at you physically. It might be a little overwhelming, but instead they're all just like, yeah, let's breathe each other in. Oh, you smell so good. Oh, yeah, I just want to like feel your body with my hands. And then all of the other guys who aren't participating are not wearing blindfolds. The two people who are hugging are wearing blindfolds, and everyone else is just standing watching and just like waiting for their turn to get to like sniff a real human from up close.
Like dogs.
Claire also keeps like smelling their necks and being like, I can tell who it is.
Yeah. And then she's like, wait, can I? I'm confused now.
She's like, but you all smell good, which I'm glad they put in the effort.
It's their first date with the Bachelorette, you know, where a little bit of that dog perfume that apparently is a thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I fully skipped over the gifts portion where they all have to, like, find random items in their rooms to bestow upon Claire. And Dale gives her dog perfume. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I was baffled by this. So Dale takes out a bottle of perfume and says, you know, I have dogs too. I know you love your dogs, and I get that. So this is perfume for your dogs. And I was like, I was really with you on the first half of that, Dale. Even perfume makes sense. But then you tried to really bring them together, and you left me wanting a little bit more connective tissue.
I don't understand if it's, like, perfume for the dog to wear or if it's, like, perfume to, like, make your apartment not smell like a dog. And
I thought maybe it was perfume that she could wear that the dogs would like.
Guys, I just Googled, and like PetSmart has a whole section of dog cologne and perfume.
Is it for the dog? Yes, deodorant sprays for dogs.
All
right. But why did he have his dog's deodorant spray with him?
Also, it almost looked like it was like a handmade dog, like natural perfume. I was very confused. I had many follow-ups that didn't get answered. But I suppose we should move on.
Let's move on.
There are a few other gifts, a few other notable gifts. Ben gives her his favorite t-shirt. I hope he was lying. These guys are all giving her, like, treasured stuff. Riley gives her a baseball from the last game he ever played. I was like, dude, do not do that.
I was like, I really hope she gave these back. I really hope.
She's not picking you.
Yeah. Yvonne gives her a chess queen. Yvonne has, like, fully leaned into being the chess guy. That is, at every turn, he's like, have I told you how I feel about chess? It's very important to me. And it's a good move for TV because we all know who chess guy is.
I literally wrote down chess guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Me too.
With three exclamation points. I thought that was nice.
I agree. Can we talk about why they seem to completely skip over acts of service?
Maybe it was boring.
Yeah, what could be more boring than doing kind things for someone that you care about?
Also, like, no, I wonder what kind of acts of service they could accomplish in this, like, conference room.
I think she'd be getting a lot of foot rubs.
She did get a foot rub from someone, right?
At some point. Later, on a different date.
Different date. They must have gotten the acts of service memo there.
Yeah, they were like, just throw that in later.
Yeah, they were on the balls date, and no one on the love languages date gave her the act of service. But the night date is quality time, so skipping right ahead to that love language. Claire comes out in a bright blue mini dress, looking incredible. She's feeling great. The men really impressed her. And the guys are all just like, I'm hanging out with my new best friends. This is fantastic. Having a wonderful time. Oh, Claire's here. Cool.
This was the most, like, one of the most bonkers things I've ever seen on The Bachelorette, though. Like, her reaction to this. We need to talk about this.
Oh, we need to unpack this entire thing. Because it was, I was like, Claire, no.
Oh. I disagree. I loved it. Let's back up. What happens?
So.
She gives a toast.
Which is to all it's the just men. What happens, right? You give a toast and then
someone says,
"Can I steal you for a sec?"
Someone responds to her toast by being like, "Yes, we're having a great evening and we really respect you and we respect each other." Which in itself is a reaction to the toast I've never seen before. I was like, "Okay, like if I were Claire, I'm like, "Thanks." Like I wasn't concerned that you didn't respect me or each other, but now I'm wondering what that's about. And then she waits for one of them to try to steal her.
This silence lasts for so long. And I do think it's because a lot of these men who are like a slightly older set have perhaps a less of a depth of bachelor knowledge or reality TV knowledge in general. And they clearly are not tuned in to the conventions of this show, which say that like, okay, it's nighttime now on this group date. This is your only time to have one-on-one with the lead. You need to grab her. So instead, she's just like left hanging there and is like, yeah, so does anyone want to start? Anyone want to hang? And Bennett's like, yeah, I will take that on. And she is clearly
That is very pissed. Much the vibe. He's like, I'll do it,
He's guys. Like, fine, I'll take one for the team. I'll leave the dudes. And she's like, don't all jump at once. Like, that was really sad. That was really sad for me. And, oh, man, she is, like, shaken by this in a way that made me very sad.
And Bennett then manfully makes it much worse by starting off their time together by saying, oh, yeah, sorry, we were just all having such a good time hanging out together.
We didn't even need you to show up.
She's like, did I interrupt the bromance? And he's like, no, we'd rather hang out with you. But, like, you really teed it up for us. Otherwise, we all would have just sat there. And I was like, Bennett, that is not the way to make this clearly now insecure woman feel like you were all excited to talk to her.
I really didn't understand, though, because I just feel like in all of the cocktail parties that have happened on this franchise, there must have been other times where, like, the group didn't exactly know what to do immediately, or there was, like, an awkward pause or something. And I was just kind of like, what was different about this? Like, was there an editing thing that happened? Like, it just, like, didn't really track for me because I was like, okay, there was, like, an awkward pause. Like, why is she so upset?
But yeah. I think it was a couple. Well, so first, I think that you're right in a sense because I same. Do think that often The Bachelor will just pull people. And I think sometimes The Bachelorette will pull people. And so it's the first group date. Maybe the guys are, like, feeling good. They're not inclined to be, like, competitive with each other yet because they're all getting along. They're sort of abiding by rules of engagement, as one of them says later. And you would think, oh, well, Claire will just be like, oh, I've been excited to talk to Riley. I'm going to pull Riley now or whoever. And instead, she waits for them. And so you can see how, under different circumstances, that date would have gone with just Claire being like, let's go talk. And instead, she doesn't want to do that. And that also leads to the awkward silence. But I then think that Bennett being like, we were just having a great time together, just kind of exploded that feeling that she was having of insecurity, that she's like, I'm the Bachelorette, I'm older than most Bachelorettes. She keeps bringing that up. And like, she clearly feels a little insecure that they don't seem to be jockeying to fight over her in the way that she feels the Bachelorette is typically jockeyed over, and decides to just confront it head on. I mean, did you guys feel like that was the right way to handle it?
I mean, I was cringing. I was like, this is rough. And I sort of, I don't know, I had felt very mixed about it. Because on the one hand, I was like, this is kind of great television. Like, Claire is the type of lead who comes in guns blazing no matter what. Which means that she's always entertaining. But, like, half the time I'm like, no. And half the time I'm like, yes. So it's never boring. Would I have reacted to this situation in that way? No. Like, but I think she's the sort of person who has, because of her life experiences, has sort of concluded that, like, she is going to demand what she wants because she has not always gotten it. So if she wants to be like jockeyed over and fought over and wants people to be like aggressive and assertive in that way, she's going to ask for it. But instead of just saying like to Bennett in her one-on-one, like, you know, it really would have been nice to like, you know, see some more initiative from you guys. And then sort of saying that to like the rest of the dudes, she's like, I need to confront this right now. Bennett, stay in this room perhaps forever. I'm gonna go yell never at the see rest Bennett of again. The men. Yeah, like poor Bennett is just like in that room alone, left forever for the rest of the date, as far as we can see. But oh man,
yeah. she goes back to confront the group. I mean
part of me was like, was she just trying to get away from Bennett? Because she was like, I just really don't want to talk to you. Like, I need to go deal with
Harvard.
This.
Yeah, she's like, more H-bombs. No more.
Yeah, she's like, okay, bye. Like, I'm going to go deal with this. And then Dale steals her away, and all of a sudden she's, like, so relaxed and, like, happy, obviously. And I'm just like, oh, she was just, like, mad that Dale didn't, like, get up to, like, say hi. And then
yes,
immediately when she's with him, she's like, fine. So, like, again, Emma, I'm with you. Would I have reacted this way? No. Did I love watching it? 100%. Like, rewind the tape. Like, let's go. It'll like it will go down as one of the like, you know, most wild bachelor, like wildest bachelorette moments ever.
Also, it starts Yosef on a downward spiral because he starts to like interrupt Claire, which just don't interrupt Claire. You should learn this early about her. Do not interrupt her.
I agree.
Yeah. Specifically, I'm still learning not to interrupt Claire Fallon. It's hard. It's a lifelong journey.
Lifelong journey.
But Yosef is like, look, I can just speak for the group. And Claire's like, no, you will not. I'm going to speak.
And he calls her crazy, which is a major no-no.
Claire comes back and says, I can't concentrate on my one-on-one time because I'm so embarrassed and upset that I had to ask if anyone wanted to spend time with me. That made me feel terrible. Yosef says, well, I can just speak for the group. And she says, no, no, don't do that. I don't want to hear from you right now. I'm a woman and I want someone to show me how they feel. And this is when Dale speaks up and is like, you know, it doesn't matter if we didn't know that this was the right time. It doesn't matter. I just feel like shit knowing that you felt that way. I never want you to feel like that around me. I will never restrict how I feel ever again. Even if there are as many as 11 men present, I will show you how I feel. And I've been on cloud nine ever since arriving. Dreamy music swells up in the air. Claire looks like she's going to pass out from joy. And then Yosef says, I just wanted to say for the group, you're crazy to not think we're all here for you.
Like, man, dude, read the fucking room. Yeah, I mean, first of all, good. Never refer to a woman as crazy. But also, like, she just told you that these actions made her feel as though none of you are there for her. And your response is, well, you're very crazy to think that. Like, he offered no compelling evidence otherwise. He's just like, bitch is crazy.
Which, and then Riley says, I gotta stop you, though. And as Dale is whisking Claire off for a more romantic encounter, Riley's like, look, no one speaks for me. I might have a different opinion. And Yosef says, I was just going to say, you know, we're all here for Claire. And Riley's like, there's no us. There's no we. There's no you and me. And this is when Riley starts saying in his In the Moment, like, Yosef has just been disrespectful ever since he arrived and calling Claire crazy. That's not how a real man behaves.
Shout out to Riley.
I just
want to
say, this is a no true Scotsman fallacy. Many men behave this way. It's in fact one of the defining characteristics of men that they call women crazy.
It's true. It's unfortunately a real scourge on the male category. But
Claire gets some time with Dale. Again, we don't know what happened to Bennett. She doesn't return to him. I hope he has fun in the room where he's been abandoned.
She was just trying to get away from Bennett. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, no, you've made a compelling argument.
I think it's true that this was the ploy a little bit is she wanted to get Dale to step up to the plate. And the first thing of being like, does anyone want to spend time with me? Failed because Bennett did it instead. And now she's like, Dale, are you sure you don't want to spend some time with me?
He's like, I do. There are 12 people here. 11, 9, 8, 7, 6, cloud 9, cloud 10. Let's go. Let's fall in love. I'm like on board with watching their like intense connection, but I do feel like perhaps after a couple more episodes, I'm going to tire of just seeing the Dale swooning. But he is very beautiful.
It is interesting to think about how they would have edited this if she had managed to pull more of like a Caitlin and Sean B sort of thing.
Oh, right. They just wouldn't have shown this shit.
There's a lot of stuff they wouldn't show, or they would frame it differently, or they would use different musical cues. Like, he always gets the swoony music. So that's been sort of interesting to think about. But at the same time, you know, they are having these conversations that feel much more real and emotional early on than you tend to see. Like, they sit down and she's like, I'm scared of you because I feel so much for you already. And he's like, I feel the same way. You know, they have these conversations where they just very naturally start talking about their family and like struggles that they're having in ways that don't really feel scripted or rehearsed in the way that those conversations often do feel on the show. So that's like, I do feel like it's different, but also it could have looked very different if she had managed to do a full season.
Yeah. I also will say that, you know, this obviously has to do with Claire, but also, like, I think production was not averse to this kind of thing happening. Like, from what I've read, like, from what Reality Steve has reported, Tayshia was there quarantining, like, basically from night one.
What?
So, yeah. Because she had to quarantine for 2 weeks. So she was there quarantining while Claire was still doing these dates. So I think production saw an opportunity to shake things up and was like, great, let's lean in. And I think if they had not been taking that opportunity, they would have handled Claire in a different way.
Right. Yeah. Because they have had leads before who felt very sure about someone, and they have ways of producing right. that. So Claire has a couple more conversations. She talks to Zach C and tells him very honestly about coming on the show with Juan Pablo to basically get herself away from an abusive relationship, which she mentioned in the premiere as well. And she talks about how the emotional abuse was the most difficult part. And, you know, it made it difficult for her to get up enough like self-esteem to really feel like she could be on her own. But, you know, when she confronted Juan Pablo, I guess that's like a seminal moment in Bachelor history. She seems to really feel like it was for her personally, that like that was when she found her voice and like realized that she could really go after what she actually wanted for herself and the kind of person who would treat her the way she wanted.
I found this conversation really interesting, and you know, it was just a short little part of the episode, but I do think that it's important for us to see things like this you know, tackled on The Bachelorette. Like, there's millions of people who are watching the show, primarily women, and you know, hearing someone say, like, in many abusive relationships it's very hard to get away, you might have to try to leave many times, you know. I think just hearing her talk about those struggles really candidly and not making it like a whole dramatic plot line was important. And it made me think a lot about the way that the show has changed. You know, in so many ways, this franchise stays the same. But when we recapped season one, Amanda, who was the winner of that season, who's been on the pod, she talks about leaving an abusive relationship, and it's really glazed over and almost treated as this like odd joke where they focus on sexy costumes rather than kind of the meat of what she's actually talking about. And this was, you know, a nice contrast. It only took like 20 years for them to treat abuse with any kind of weight. Wow, so much progress.
And a really like mature female lead who's clearly spent a lot of time processing what happened to her. Then Claire tells Zach that she knows she's not the youngest girl in the room, or the skinniest girl, or the prettiest girl.
I beg to differ.
I was like, excuse me. Like, I remember when she came on Juan Pablo season, I was like, oh, that's like the most beautiful one. She's definitely going to win. Close to being correct on that call. But she says, I have one of the biggest hearts in the room. And she then talks to Riley, who says, I'm a man. I'm man enough to tell you that I made a mistake. I should have jumped out of my seat and it won't happen again. She appreciates all of the apologies. I get the sense that she like gets directly accesses her feelings of anger before it like simmers. And then that allows her to let go of it quickly, which maybe is a virtue, as opposed to letting it simmer. And then they do some high school slow dancing to Imaginary Boys to Men, and they kiss. He tells her that he's going to be able to be the first line of defense and the last stand for her. He has a very aphoristic way of speaking, but he's basically saying, like, I'll fight for you. And she says, that's a man right there. That separates the boys from the men. This is a big theme of this episode that I would like to continue to talk about. The question of like what a man is, and you know, at this point we're talking about men standing up quickly to take her away from a cocktail party. Later it will be balls, but the question of like who's man enough for Claire is a big one.
Yeah, I didn't love that theme. I was much more into the like processing our feelings portion of the episode and less into like what makes a man is aggression and balls.
Yes, it is like quite a study in different conceptions of masculinity that she is clearly really interested in unpacking the men's feelings and not having them be placed in a box of like taciturn, like tough manliness. She wants them to be open and vulnerable. But that question of just like having balls, it clearly still looms large.
I mean, it's sort of an interesting study in where we are as a culture in like unpacking masculinity and the way that I think I see a lot of straight women sort of grapple with wanting a wider conception of what masculinity can look like, but still like often struggling to totally free ourselves from the desire for some of those conventions that we've sort of been socialized to believe like signal someone's desire for us, you know, that like that, you know, aggression or moving the needle forward, not having to do all of the work. Like we're still raised from a very young age to believe that like those are the markers of someone actually caring for you. And yeah, I just think we're in a little bit of a moment where like everyone is sort of confused, I think ultimately in a good way, because we should just like blow up all these gender roles. But I think we're sort of like seeing people, especially people like in their 30s, kind of grappling with that in real time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that like, and I found this when I was dating, you know, that I had a lot of ideals about being able to pursue a guy if I was interested in him, not having to be passive. But in practice, you know, finding that the guys who don't pursue you don't care about you because they are raised to believe that they should be very active in going after girls and women that they're interested in. And so, you know, trying to unpack, you know, what is just me, you know, expecting a sort of stereotypical masculinity from men and what is me correctly reading their cues of interest, is very tricky. And how do you navigate that without like perpetuating something? How do you navigate that without, you know, wasting a lot of time and energy on men who are never going to be into you? And that's, you know, one of the major pitfalls of just like heterosexual dating, because there's already so much baggage bound up in that.
It's a real curse. It's a real curse. Yeah.
Yeah. Many times this episode, I was like, wow, the hetero sexual misery is just very on display.
And all of this stuff is like never more on display than it is in this franchise. Like, I think that, I never really confront those kinds of, issues or situations anymore, because, like, I'm not dating, and I have a long-term partner, and it's, like, I forget until I watch these shows, and I'm like, right, these things still exist. Like, these tropes, like, these stereotypes still exist. These tropes still exist. The idea of what a man should be from a man's point of view is very strong and ever present in so many men. And it's like, I find that I forget that until I watch this show. And it's like a good reminder that we still have a lot of work to do in this space.
A lot.
Yeah,
a
absolutely.
Lot. I think that's, you know, we see a couple more short little conversations clipped together. She gives the date rose to Riley, which I was pleased to see. You know, Dale can't get them all. And then we move on to the first one-on-one.
And I think we should note a little Chekhov's gun here. Yosef is still upset. He feels like Claire was hot-headed and immature, and he will address it with her if need be.
I think Yosef is hot-headed and immature.
Yosef feels that it's a man's place to be hot-headed and immature. It's allowed. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, more on the incredible chaotic energy of this episode of The Bachelorette.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Alo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And now back to the show.
Date card, Jason Love Will Set Us Free. I had sort of forgotten about Jason. He, I guess, is a former...
Had no idea he existed.
...football player. So Claire has selected him for this date. She later explains because she has the feeling that his upbeat energy and his jokes are perhaps shielding something because she used to use positivity and self-deprecation to shield her insecurities and pain. So she writes him a letter before the date to ask him to write a letter to his younger self before the date. There are already several letters involved in this date. It hasn't even begun because she is going to write one to herself as a younger person as well.
There's homework on this date. This date requires homework. I mean, it's a new territory for this show.
Can we also just talk about how, like, Jason read the letter and then he was just like, shit. He was just like, crap. Like, he literally said, like, shit. Like, I have to do something.
I found this date so interesting as just a glimpse into a different kind of mind. I was talking to my husband the other week about a conversation I wanted to have with someone that would be very emotionally, like, challenging and involve, like, dredging up some stuff. And I was like, I know that it could be tough, but, like, I think it might be really helpful. And he was like, well, that person might not want to have that conversation. And I was like, I literally don't relate to that. Like, who doesn't want to have an emotional conversation about our past with anyone? I'd have that conversation with anyone in the world. I just want to have that conversation. There are people like Jason who never want to have that conversation. And so it was really fascinating to me to see how terrified he was and how he kind of had to be eased into it, into talking more honestly about his past and his feelings.
There's also a difference between doing that in general and then, like, doing it on TV with a stranger, which is correct. What he was asked yes. to do.
That is true.
I think people were really people seemed really sort of, like, taken aback by this date, but it's sort of the natural conclusion of what this show always does, which is, like, tee people up to sort of use their past traumas to define their character to the lead in some way.
We're seeing Claire do the production here. Like, Claire is the person giving him that prep work.
Totally. I think we're on the same page here, where, like, because there are fewer people on set kind of doing that work, the lead in this case is carrying a lot more of that kind of narration and, like, direction.
That's interesting, because I just thought it was because Claire was herself comfortable having those conversations that she would have preferred to do it that way than to have production say, tonight you need to tell Claire about the bad thing that happened.
That's possible. I believe that I guess as well.
I don't really know that much about whether production was shorter staffed than usual, but that's entirely possible too. What we are seeing either way is just, yeah, the production happening on screen.
I feel like they're also leaning into the fact that Claire is, like, the feelings bachelorette. Like, they're like, okay, you're the mature one. Like, you love to have these conversations. Like, that's just, like, what the vibe is going to be. Like, let's do it, even if the guys are not that into it.
Guys, I was into it. I think it makes for kind of great television to watch a man, like, process his feelings and sort of being given the space to do that and be really listen to. Like, I was struck by how many of these men said directly to Claire, like, wow, it means a lot that you're really listening to me. And it made me so sad. I was like, wow, a lot of men are not socialized to feel that they have the space to have these conversations. So those conversations, A, are, like, inherently more uncomfortable often, I think, especially for straight men. And I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. I saw some commentary on Twitter, which I agree with, that, like, women should not be expected to do, like, all of the emotional labor for the men that they're dating, which I agree with. But also, counterpoint, I would argue Claire is essentially only dating Dale. So, I think she's just, like, more of a therapist figure for Jason.
I actually said to Emma that this strikes me as, like, a really nice example of the campsite rule of dating. But she's like, I'm not going to end up with this guy, but I'm going to leave him in better shape than I found him. And that's the greatest gift that I can give. I mean, I get the question of whether that's exploitative, But I actually think it was less so than the way this is usually framed, because he never mm-hmm. really gets that specific about what his past trauma is, except that it happened in childhood in his family, and it left him feeling like he was, you know, incapable of love. It left him feeling cold. It's left him with a lot of barriers up, a fear of being vulnerable. Like, to me, that is less exploitative than having a producer say, you need to tell Claire that your brother died of an overdose tonight, because that's how she's gonna really connect with you. And then having them go out and just deliver this scripted revelation of a very personal thing that happened to them in a very decontextualized, emotionless way. Like, this felt very organic. It felt like it was more about meeting his needs than it was about, you know, having his privacy like blasted open. That was my takeaway.
No, I totally agree. And I think that you make a good point in that, like, they spent less time mining the details of his trauma and more time digging into perhaps where that has left him today. And I thought it was interesting that he was very openly like, yeah, in order to avoid, you know, emotional confrontation of any kind, I've been somewhat of a manipulator. I've been somewhat of a player. I've not wanted to get involved with anyone on any sort of deep level. And instead of saying like, oh, that's a huge red flag for me, Claire kind of says like, yeah, and I think that you probably did that as a self-protective measure. And she like shows him quite a lot of grace for that disclosure. I thought it was great.
When I think it actually is a wonderful illustration of why people other than your partner should be doing that work, because if Claire really was considering dating him, it probably would be a red flag.
Yeah.
And that's kind of okay. It's okay for that to be a bit of a red flag, because if that person's not dealing with those, you know, walls that they've put up appropriately, then they could definitely hurt you because that is their pattern of behavior. But she's acting, again, yeah, more as someone who is unlikely to be exposed to emotional harm from
the lesson here is that like a therapist. More men need therapists.
Yes.
And also like friends that they can have emotionally deep conversations with, and then all of that labor does not get put on a partner.
I think like the real example of this is like the end of the date when he's doing his like in the moment interview. He just looks like so raw and exhausted, and he's just like wrung out. And it's like, that's how you look after you go to the therapist, like not after a date. So
like, I thought it was far more of a therapy session than a date.
He's feeling some real transference though, because he's like smitten. He's like,
he's
that's
like, I love her
I
now.
Yeah. Hopefully that will not lead to problems for him. And, you know, I don't know how Jason feels about this date. I could understand if he, in retrospect, hated it. But it's also possible that he benefited from it. I hope that, like everyone, he is finding whatever therapeutic path forward that he needs in these times. And she gives him the rose. And they burn her finale dress from Juan Pablo's season because it means nothing to her anymore now that she's healed.
This was the moment where I was like, Claire is the most theater kid I've ever seen, I've ever met. Like, the glee with which she threw the dress into the fire and then, like, the smile that came on her face. I was just like, you were and are a theater kid for this, and I liked it, you know. No shots, no shame, just like, that's the vibe.
Girl yeah. likes when a narrative comes full circle. She's like, we started with the blue dress, we end it with the blue dress.
Like, I believe that was her idea.
Oh yeah.
I was wondering.
I mean, to me, I'm like, is it possible that production just suddenly has lots of new off the wall ideas? Or is it Claire? Is a lot of it Claire? I suspect a lot of it's Claire. And serious, like, Anne Shirley, Lady of Shalott vibes with that dress burning. And next it's time for the final date, which takes us in a very different direction. Looking for a man with some balls. Presumably it's all the guys who didn't go on the other dates because there was no I didn't get a date this week narrative.
Guys.
And so they all head back to the Salon de Fiesta, which is no longer a love languages retreat with a tower. It is now a gym. It has some movable gym walls set up. And Claire's launching dodgeballs at them from a high-speed machine because she wants a man who has balls.
Just really swung so abruptly from, like, opening up men's emotional capacity just right over to, like, overt objectification and, like, driving home the idea that your genitals create your gender. It was just a real study in contrasts.
There were so many, this is just not deep at all, but there were just so many like puns or like jokes about balls that also didn't make sense. Like, I think at one point Chris Harrison was like, "You've got to be looking for a guy with ball control." Like, what does that mean? And why are we pretending that like every time you say the word ball, it's like dirty or like mean something when really it's just like second grade humor. Like, I don't understand. I was just like, this,
what,
like, none of
weird
this makes
shit
sense.
Is Chris Harrison doing in the bedroom is the real question.
Like, the two things I couldn't stop thinking about this as he said it, I was like, is he referring to like a guy who handles his balls a lot, because I don't think we're looking for that, or is he saying you're looking for a guy who knows how to make them work for you in the bedroom, which like they're just like two things in a loose sack of skin. There's not a whole lot you can do with them. Like, as far as I know, like,
as far as like control,
as far as controlling them, they're just like dangling there. What is he referring to?
It was a lot of balls and like didn't need to be there.
By the time that we were like at the like cocktail party and Blake is still saying, "I just wanted to show you I have balls," I was like, the word balls is no longer permitted on this show.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it was too much. So they're playing dodgeball. They split into teams. It's the very classic setup where, like, whoever wins gets time with Claire. Whoever loses has to go home. Except, twist, let's make it even more objectifying. You have to strip down to a thong.
I think it was probably a jockstrap, but I...
It was so confusing because the boxes were so big once they did get down to the
right, like, who knows what was actually being exposed
there. I was just trying to get glimpses of how much strap there was. But the thing that occurred to me when I saw this was they have matching jock straps. Like, was this planned? Or were they just like, they won't want to play in their normal underwear, so we'll provide some?
I think they were in the locker room area. Like, I saw them holding them before putting them on.
Oh, yeah, no. I meant, was it planned that it'd be strip dodgeball from the beginning?
I was and like, I'm yes, sure it Claire, was. They provided them the jock straps.
Clearly, Claire was comfortable enough, like, framing it as her decision. But I just want to say that, like, this is the kind of thing that production often leans into. Like, dress contestants in something skimpy, usually it is the women, and make them do some sort of physical activity that is like degrading in some capacity. So yeah. I don't know that this was like a Claire original necessarily. I think
who
that this
knows?
Would have might have likely been a production idea.
It was pretty unpleasant to me either way. Claire definitely
agreed.
Says that she's the one who wants to up the ante by making it strip dodgeball. But his production does have a serious history of this sort of thing. Chris and Claire kind of offer color commentary on the sidelines. You know, she's making jokes about, like, oh, when they take their shirts off, like, oh, their loss is my gain. Mm. And she eventually asks the red team to take off their shirts, even though they haven't lost a game. And I was like, okay, like, you can let them leave some of their clothes on.
It was so awkward. The whole thing was so uncomfortable to watch.
It was just like a misguided attempt at like equality versus like actual equity, right? Like, you're like, no, it's not. The point isn't like, let's treat men like shit because we treat women like shit. Like, maybe, like, no one needs to be an object.
Yeah, it's like that's how this works, is that there's one powerful person who gets to objectify all of the opposite sex people in their path. And you better hope that it's a woman, you know, because that way it's men getting objectified and not us. And that feels good. It just, especially like when it's a game like dodgeball, I was like, I don't want to get balls thrown at my nude bits at a high speed. Like, it's not just humiliating. Like, it seems pretty painful. And like, once you're down basically to your jock strap, then like, I'm not playing at top capacity anymore because
I'm trying to protect,
you know? And so, of course, you know, you're going to lose. But no, it just, the whole thing left a pretty bad taste in my mouth. The blue team eventually loses after Garen is left defending their side alone in his thong. And they all have to head home. Walk of shame in their underwear.
Didn't love it.
After Claire asked them to hug her while they still don't have their clothes on. I was like,
that was like the worst part.
Yeah, I was like, we're watching sexual harassment right now. I don't feel good about it.
It's not cute. No. Sexual harassment, not cute. Like, just can we move on from that in 2020?
And all Please. The guys, like, when they got back to the – I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this. But when they got back to the house, all the other guys were so, like, blown away by what had happened to them. And they – like, it was as if they, like, also couldn't believe that they had to strip. Like, their reactions, I think, were so pronounced.
Yeah.
Especially Yosef.
Well, that's the funny thing is Yosef seems so much like a dick. And – so I was displeased to be on his side here. But, like, yeah, I think it was fucked up that they did that. And if I were on the date, I also would have been like, no, I'm not stripping, which was sort of his reaction. And that's fair, I think. Like, they're allowed to feel, like, pretty bad about having been asked to do that. But Claire is, meanwhile, spending time with the winners. Easy, Joe, Kenny, Jay. Like, there are a couple guys I just don't recognize.
Chasen? Yeah, Chasen.
Chasen and Jay, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Easy gives her a foot massage. We finally get an act of service. And he tells her that she radiates an energy that makes him feel good. And she is into that. She's a fan of Easy, and I agree.
Yeah, I too am a fan of Easy.
Not enough Easy on this episode.
Agree. Yeah, I need to dial it up next week.
Chasen says that he was bullied for being short, but now he's no longer short, so problem solved.
Claire then tells him that she wasn't asked to go to prom and she felt invisible, which I just don't understand what's going on in the high schools of America. Like, I too was not, you know, asked out to dances. However, I'm not now the Bachelorette. You know, you hear this from beautiful actresses as well. I literally don't understand. Like, who are in their high schools who are more beautiful than Claire? It doesn't add up. But she says it makes you appreciate it more because you know what it's like to be on the other side, which is the sort of thing that I always think is, like, a little sad, which is like, oh, yes, once I was one of the unwashed dateless people, but I've crossed over and now I've left them behind and I'm just so grateful to be here among the deserving.
It's like my past keeps me humble.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Blake Moynes, who was on the losing team, is feeling pretty bad about having been sent home without time with Claire, and so he is combing his beard.
That was upsetting to me. I do not like
Moynes' facial hair at all. It's not good.
Ouch.
I think it could be very easily improved. It just needs, like, some slightly different styling.
I mean, just think, these guys haven't been able to see a barber for a long time. This is all DIY.
I shouldn't judge.
I'm judging. I didn't like it.
Thank you.
I think he's cute. But he's was rewarded night one for having reached out to Claire against the rules while they were all quarantining. And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to do that again. I'm going to show Claire that I really do indeed have balls, enormous ones, the kind of balls that make it possible for you to interrupt a date and get some special time with Claire. So Jay is telling Claire about his fitness career when Blake appears and is like, can I steal her for a sec? I mean, they're all so close together, like even more than usual. He literally just has to walk like 3 minutes to the date area. And Jay handles this really well by freezing up and then saying, but didn't you lose? And then when Blake doesn't leave, he's just like, okay, I'll go.
I appreciate how much these dudes are like rules guys. There was like, there was a rule and you lost and you need to follow the rules.
This is how I've come to understand how sad rules guys seem to other people. Because whenever they gather in their little posses and they're like, we all played by these rules and we just have to like, we have to follow them. I was like, oh, this looks really pathetic. Like, this is what it looks like to people when I'm like, but the rules.
Doesn't this happen?
Yeah, like
every
I relate,
season?
But
like, doesn't this happen every season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out the rules never matter. What matters is whether the Bachelorette likes you and if she's getting to spend as much time with right. you as she wants.
That's the thing. Like, breaking the rules goes well when the person likes you and goes terribly when the person doesn't like you, which is kind of how dating works. Like the yeah. text that you get from the person that you're not into, you're like, oh my God, oh, this is like repulsive. It makes me uncomfortable. But then like the text from the person you are into, you're like, oh my God, this is so sweet. Nothing's ever been sweeter.
It's the rom-com paradox.
Talk about Brandon?
Wait, can we first talk about how Claire like denied Blake a kiss?
We have to talk about Blake first. Blake tells her that he wanted to show her his balls again. And he's like, I'm here for you. I don't care that the guys are going to be upset. Jay comes back with a posse, all the men in their short sleeve dress shirts who just like line up in their cocktails and like stub their toes of their shoes against the ground and are like, hey, so like we won fair and square and we deserve this time. So we just came here to like tell you that. And Blake is like, I wanted to show that I had balls. And they're like, that's not big balls. You're a sore loser. Just like,
stop saying balls. Stop.
The discourse around balls is ongoing and very unsophisticated. Like, balls have literally nothing to do with any of these things. Nothing at all. Incredibly cisnormative and sexist. And also just weird. Like, why, like, at a certain point, don't you just feel weird that you're debating whether showing up on a date is about having balls or not? Like, doesn't that just sound a little odd to you? Like, why am I connecting this to balls at all? And the answer is because it's the theme of the date. So Claire puts her hand on his shoulder and asks for another minute. And they're all like, okay, yeah, okay, bye. And then she's like, thanks for coming, but I can't disrespect these other guys, so you need to go. And he tries to kiss her, and she's like, you can't go in for it now. Come on.
That was amazing. Like, I was like Queen Claire in that moment. That was so good.
He denied.
Poor Blake. It was very bold of him to go for the kiss as he's being packed off. So now it's time for Claire to get back to the guys. And she's having a chat with someone who I had forgotten
never seen
was present. Brandon. Let's talk about Brandon.
I'm sorry I jumped the gun before. I was just, like, very excited about this exchange. Brandon,
away,
I guess,
Emma.
Did not get a lot of time during the first night. And he clearly has, like, prepared the very beginnings of a speech. Like, he's thought about it. He's like, I know exactly what I'm going to tell Claire. And she kind of, you know, tees him up. She's like, so what brought you here? I want to say that there are many ways you could answer this question that would have been satisfactory. But Brandon says, you know, I never thought
in my life I'd do something like this. But when I found out you were the Bachelorette, I knew I wanted to sign up. And she's like, oh, like, what about it being me made you want to sign up? And I maintain that this is a fair question because he literally just said the only reason I'm here is because specifically the Bachelorette is you. And Brandon is like deer in the headlights. He's like, wait, I planned that first part. I knew I'd say that it was because of her. Didn't realize she'd have a follow-up. And all he can think of is like, you're very attractive, very beautiful. And I believe maybe that you have some connection to the city of Sacramento. Like, that sounds familiar to me.
Is he from Sacramento? Like, why did that seem relevant for him to share?
It was just a fact he could think of. He, like, could not think of literally anything about her. And people are like, oh, does she expect him to have, like, Googled her, like, bachelor history? No, he could have said, your energy is really striking. I was very excited to meet someone who knew what she wanted. Like, there are lots of completely non-specific things he could have said.
And here's something wild. He didn't have to start by saying, I only signed up because it was you.
Right.
He set himself an enormous trap. And then he was like, oh, she's just going to blush and be like, oh, that's so sweet. And instead she had a follow-up and he had nothing prepared.
I agree with you guys completely, but I do think that it was, like, hilarious that, well, so can I spoil this? Like, she, like, sent him home because she was like, yeah. You can go. Like, you clearly don't have any real reason for wanting to be here, like, other than you think I'm hot. And it, like, yes, she was totally in the right to do that. And, like, I agree with her for doing that. But it definitely seemed to me almost like she was like, well, you didn't Google me. You haven't watched the show. So, like, all right, bye. And I feel like that is totally fair also because it goes against what we see a lot on the show where people, like, pretend like they haven't, like, Googled the person a lot. And they're like, oh, like, who are you? Like, where are you from? I think this happens more on The Bachelor. Like, we see a lot of female contestants being like, I've never watched the show. And, like, here I am. And it just like struck me as so funny that she's breaking all the rules a million times over. And one of them is like, yeah, I actually do want people to like know a lot about me. Like, I've been out there a lot. Like, I've been on the show a bunch. Like, I'm everywhere. Know who I am. And also, if you're gonna say you want to be here for me, like, say why. I get it.
Have one prepared quality.
One thing.
Also, I think you make a good point, Jess, in that like, these dudes were also trapped in quarantine. Like, they had so much time to research her.
At a certain point, it shows a lack of interest in the person you purportedly were very excited to meet that you are not engaging with any of the enormous amounts of public information about her.
He could have watched every single season she's been on, like, backstalked her entire Instagram. Like, what else was he doing in
quarantine?
Could
even come in and be like, I didn't want to get to know you through that. Yep. So I'm really excited to finally get to know you the way that I wanted to in person because I think that's so important and you seem so cool. And he takes the other approach. What Brandon's doing is he is giving lines that are considered like bachelor get out of jail free cards. He's saying, I signed up specifically for you. That always gets an awe. That always gets a, oh, thank you. That's so sweet. He says when she bridles at that and is like, you said you signed up because of me and it's weird that you would say that when you don't even have a reason. Like, what are you doing? And he says, well, look, I really am here to find love. And that wasn't her question. Like, that's not an answer to what's upsetting her. It's just a thing that people say on the show to demonstrate that they are worthy and have good intentions. And why, if I'm Claire, why do I want to date someone who came equipped with nothing except a couple shitty bachelor cliches?
It's like Bachelor Mad Libs.
Get themselves out of trouble.
It really was Bachelor Mad Libs, but with like no substance behind it. And then he does that really like too aggressive thing where he's like, well, just there are moments between us that I can feel it. And I know you feel it too. We feel that spark. I'm telling you, you feel it. Therefore, you feel it. And Claire is just savage. She's like, actually, I feel nothing for you. I don't feel that way at all. I was wondering if I felt anything for you, which is why we're talking. And now it's been confirmed to me that I feel nothing for you. Can I walk you out? Goodbye. Like, I'm
bow
sorry.
Down.
I fucking loved it. I
bow
loved
down.
It.
Bow down.
I just, like, if you're looking for a partner, why would you want to put up with this, like, vapid shit? Like, don't waste your time.
As we know, Claire is 39 and she is not willing to waste a single second.
To waste like 3 more weeks of filming. So she tells the guys, like, I sent Brandon home. She gives the rose to Chasen, who I'd forgotten was on the date. And the guys then head back to the suites. There's, I guess, some sort of common room where they hang out, because obviously they can't have them all in like separate rooms. They're hanging out in the common area and talking about how Brandon was sent home. And Yosef says, well, I know what I would have said if she asked me what I liked about her. I liked you a lot more before you humiliated me. And then the guys are like, so you wouldn't have stripped? And he's like, no, not in a million years. My number one value is respect for myself and my daughter. And I wouldn't want her to see her dad's butt on TV. Okay, like, I get that, as I've said before. And they're like, well, you could have left your shorts on. And he's like, well, I don't care. I'm going to tell her how disappointed I am at the cocktail party. I feel very complicated about this whole thing because I agree with Yosef that that was really fucked up. And also everything else he says makes me hate him.
Yes, I think that's a correct assessment, Claire. I also feel like he's sort of the wrong spokesperson for this thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe,
I mean,
give
he wasn't
space.
Present.
Right. He wasn't there. Like, maybe give space if any of the men who were there for that date felt discomfort. Like, they perhaps would be the ones to speak to that. It felt almost to me like, yes, Yosef is making a true point. That is a humiliating premise and, like, fucked up of the show to do that. But it almost seems like Yosef is just, like, pissed that Claire talked back to him that one time. And she has not lived up to the idea of who Claire should be in his mind. And he's, like, looking for an excuse to tell her off.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's the nub of it. And it does seem like he, like, the idea that he would respond to the question, what do you like about me, with, I liked you a lot more before you humiliated me, is like, so why are you here? Like, if you hold her in such contempt, and, like, again, I can understand going on a show like this and feeling like the lead was treating us in a way that was objectifying and being like, that's not what I want in my partner. I can understand mm-hmm. that. Leave. Like, I don't understand, like, staying to be like, I hold you in contempt at the next convenient opportunity. Like, it doesn't even seem like he's saying he plans to leave. It seems like he's saying, I can't wait to tell Claire how much disgust I have for her, which I find a little bit bizarre. Like, he barely knows her. They just met. Perfectly good time to send himself home to his daughter if he wants. And that's when we head to the cocktail party. And Claire starts off by, I guess, having already begun to sense some discomfort with the strip dodgeball, is like, that was all in good fun, right, guys? I loved watching. Anyway, glad we're all cool with that. And then
moving on,
one guy tries to steal her right away and she rebuffs him.
I think, like, it was one of the Zacks.
Okay. Yeah. They're all blending together and she's like, no, I have to talk to Blake first. The guys are all so excited. They're like, another guy's gonna get sent home. We can't wait. We love this. Blake looks like he's walking the gangplank and he says, I wouldn't have done what I did. I was just really trying to show you my balls. And Claire says, look, I didn't expect to see you. It really took me aback. It was a big risk for you to take, but I think it was amazing that you did it. I don't want you to worry at all. And here's a rose for you. I thought this was very interesting because the day when he actually interrupted her, the night date, she sends him home to avoid creating conflict with the guys, basically, to, like, show the guys that he wasn't getting preferential treatment, that she was living up to what she promised them. But she's profoundly undermining that by giving him a rose at the beginning of the cocktail party that he can then kind of flaunt to them before the rose ceremony has even begun. What did you guys think of this?
I did wonder if this was sort of a production move. Like, they looked at the situation and were like, Claire, you rejected Blake. He thinks you're not into him. You need to reassure him. So here's, like, give him a rose. That's the best way to deal with this. And, like, in doing so, they, you know, get Blake in a better mood, and they also get to sow the seeds of conflict amongst a group of men who are, like, generally pretty into each other.
Yeah. Or Claire just lives for drama and she kind of knew that this might happen, which, like,
or both.
I can get behind, because, like, okay, so the narrative of this whole season is that, like, Claire follows her heart. Claire does whatever she wants because, like, that this is where her heart goes, and she's not really, like, concerned about the guy's feelings that she's not really vibing with, right? Like, that is kind of, like, the story we're being told. And maybe she's just like, I like Blake and I want him to know that I like him, and, like, so be it. Like, maybe, you know, the previous night she was like, I really want to make sure that the guys have time with me. And, like, that's the promise, instead of, like, avoiding conflict. And so now she's like, let's just show Blake that I'm into him. Yeah. I don't know, but I like
it. I think that's a good point.
This sounds like a really weak argument, but I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, I think probably production is like, Blake was really upset by that. Like, if you like him, like, maybe. And she was like, yeah, you're right, I'm gonna, like, give him a rose early or something like that. Because I don't think that Claire really would hesitate to do that.
Oh, I agree.
And so Blake comes back with the rose. The guys are all horrified.
Easy had a really good facial expression here that was just like, wait, what?
Oh, I live for Easy. I also like that he was like, okay, the gauntlet has been thrown. There are no rules of engagement now.
It's the purge.
We just gotta go.
I love, there's that point in, like, every season of The Bachelorette, and The Bachelorette doesn't really happen because the women know the show better. There's on every season of The Bachelorette, there's a point when the guys were like, oh, the lead isn't, like, a hall monitor. Like, she's not here to, like, enforce the rules and reward good behavior and punish bad behavior. Like, I'm so confused. And then they're like, I guess I have to Hulk out, like, a man of the olden times, if I'm not going to be, like, the good boy in class. And we're having that moment tonight as they're all like, oh, following the rules is going to get us nowhere because Claire doesn't care. And speaking of which, Claire is heading off with Dale, her fiance.
One true love.
to curl up on a couch and just, like, really vibe out with each other.
Really make out with each other.
And make out. They have this interesting interaction where, you know, she's talking about how, you know, she's just been longing for someone who will take the weight off. She's felt so lonely. She's been left high and dry in relationships. And he's like, you know, that's why I'm here. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your mom. And, like, you shouldn't have to deal with this alone. And then he sort of says, you know, like, I'm not worried. I know I'll have my time with you. And she says, yeah, don't stress about your date. Like, it's coming. And he's like, I'm not. Like, in this very chill way where it's like, oh, he really isn't. Like, there is, like, a transparency of each other's feelings to each other that is so unusual that he genuinely does not feel any of, like, oh, I didn't get the one-on-one date week one. Like, now I'm not sure about our connection. He's just like, oh, yeah, like, we're endgame. Like, it's going to be coming.
It's
kind
of wild. It's very wild and striking to watch. And I don't know, they're these two. I get why production was just like, maybe we should lean into this and just let them go off. And, like, because there's no narrative tension here.
Yeah, it is. It's very sweet. I'm rooting for them, but not enough to rest an entire season. On, perhaps. And I think that brings us to the end of the episode. Any final thoughts from you guys?
I can't wait for all of this to blow up. Like, all the coming attractions are just like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I need to know who yells at her for being old. I need to know.
It's Yosef.
It's got to be Yosef. Yeah. But, like, I just – and I need to know, like, when the guys are going to walk off set. I'm just – I'm riveted. I've been waiting months for this season, and it's living up to all the expectations, and I'm just really happy to have this back in my life.
I agree. It is – I think this season is delivering. It's unlike what we've seen before. I'm here for the switch up, and I'm here to be able to get to experience two bachelorettes for the price of one. Like, what a delight.
It's so great. And I'm so thrilled to be into the meat of the season now. Like, night one is always a little tricky to even discuss because it's so much meeting people that you'll never hear from again. And this episode, like, fully dives in. And I love that for this season. I hope it continues at this high octane pace. And I'm sure it will.
I can't wait to see what they do with the conference room. Like, how many other ways they turn, like, how many other things they turn it into. Like, are we gonna get like an ice skating rink in there, like a cafeteria? Like, I don't know, the possibilities are endless.
I hope they do a cafeteria.
I need there to be a hot tub in the conference room. Thank you, Jess, so much for being here with us. It's been a real delight. I'm sure that we could all talk for another like 3 hours about this.
Oh, truly. But thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
And before you go, do you want to let our listeners know where they can find you on social?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Jess Good and Instagram at Jessica Goodman. And my YA novel, They Wish They Were Us, is available to purchase wherever books are sold.
And it's really fun. Highly recommend it.
Aw, thanks.
Now it's time for Feminism Fails, and we had a real handful this week, Claire.
There was so much going on, and what I loved about this episode was that it really just goes to show that sexism and, you know, all the attendant isms are just really so baked into the fabric of society. There was no, like, super singular villain the way that we sometimes have on the show. They're just different people, you know, espousing concepts of toxic masculinity in different ways. Some more, you know, unpleasant and, you know, some more benevolent than others, but all kind of painting a picture of our society. So let's just dive in. First, we have Yosef calling Claire crazy. And this was a moment that, you know, it almost just through manners, you would think that it would be known that this was a bad idea to do, but really plays into the idea that women tend to be crazy, that women are irrational, that their desires are expressions of irrational feeling or emotion rather than being valid things that we should take seriously, also stigmatizing toward people with mental illness. So on many levels, this was very problematic, and we're going to give that a 4.
Throughout the episode, we see Riley and some of the other men talk about what it means to be, quote, a real man. Like, I speak for myself because I'm a real man. That's what a real man does. And at least in Riley's case, this definitely, like, was said with good intentions. But again, we're just not into anything that kind of reinforces the idea that there is one way to be a man, or that some men are real and some men are not real. Like, let's just get away from the gender binary in whatever ways we can. So we're going to give this one a 2.
Next, we have the group date card. I'm looking for a man with balls, which, I mean, I think on its face perpetuates the idea that genitals are what make a man. It's very cis normative and is supposed to be cute. I understand that. It's a little joke. But it did create this whole episode long arc of just an obsession with whether men have balls and what that signifies about them. that I find extremely damaging. So I'm going to give that a 5.
Absolutely agree. And yeah, we also see balls invoked as a signifier for having courage or being able to like take ownership over one's decisions. And again, let's just like decouple physical attributes with emotional attributes. These things are not connected. Your balls are just a thing that exists on your body if you have them and like really signify nothing else. So we're gonna, you know, also give that a 5.
Yeah, we were trying, you know, the Sex and the City was trying to convince poor Steve that this didn't matter 2 decades ago, and we're still here. Let's move on, guys. Next, we have Yosef saying, she hasn't been living up to who I thought Claire was going into this. Just, you know, the implication that Claire's job is to live up to a projection of what he thought she would be, rather than to simply be her own person and to center her own self and her own agenda going into this. You know, it's a little more of a subtle moment, but I think just reinforces the idea that women should be constantly policed by men and to, you know, embody the behaviors and ideals that the men have, and that they should be expected to live up to the pedestal that they've been placed upon, which has been, you know, a really harmful thing to expect of women for a long time. So we're going to give that a 4.
And then, of course, last but certainly not least, we have the fact that, you know, this group of men were pressured to strip down and play dodgeball in thongs for, like, the pleasure of a woman being able to objectify them and rate them based on, you know, their abs and their genitalia, I guess. It was very uncomfortable. We get that, you know, The Bachelor has very often done this with the women contestants, which we've been incredibly critical of. And I do believe that, like, objectification of men does have a slightly different impact than of women, but it's not good. Like, maybe no one should be an object. Maybe that's the lesson we can take from feminism, that objectifying people, human beings, is a real net negative, and pressuring people of any gender identity to strip when they might feel really uncomfortable doing so is, like, not cool and really veers into sexual harassment territory. So we're going to give this one a 5 and just beg of the show to stop doing degrading shit like this.
Yeah, I think that kind of shows the limitations of the discourse of, well, you would never have the men do this, because then what the show in this instance tends to hear is, let's have the men do that. And, you know, we need to have a discourse around treatment of women on The Bachelor that does not result in simply more people being treated in a degrading manner. That's not what we're going for here.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Jessica Goodman, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap more drama on The Bachelorette.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.